I'm glad Brother Gary mentioned the Passover and the things that are coming. Today I'd like to talk to you about the 10 plagues that came upon Egypt and what they mean to us, what they meant to them, what they might mean to us. As you know, if you want to turn to the book of Exodus. I got my Bible open to Genesis, and that's what I said. Got to get over to Exodus. If you'd put in there at the, third chapter, I want to show you something interesting. And here we have in chapter 3, move on down there to verse 18. And there we read, "And they shall hearken to my voice, and you shall come and the elders of Israel unto the king of Egypt. And you shall say unto him, Yahweh, Elohim of the Hebrews, has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech you, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may hold a sacrifice unto Yahweh, our Elohim." The whole thing began. Thank you. The whole thing began on Yahweh's desire that his people would hold a feast to him in the wilderness. And that's how it all began. Which says we also should have that desire to hold a feast to him wherever he holds them. And so notice the feast is uppermost. This is what Yahweh wanted his people to do. In the fourth chapter, notice again, he says there in verse 22 really, "And you will say unto Pharaoh, thus says Yahweh, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto you, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if you refuse to let him go, I will slay your son, even your firstborn." In the fifth chapter again, verse 1, we read there, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says Yahweh, the mighty one of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is Yahweh, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I don't know Yahweh, neither will I let Israel go." Of course, the Pharaoh had about 1,000 different deities there in Egypt. He could worship any one of them. And I suppose he did. So Yahweh wanted Israel to come and worship in the wilderness because they were not allowed to go. The firstborn of Egypt, both men, animals, all died. Unless they had the door stricken with the lintel and doorposts with the blood of the lamb. Other than that, they were all killed. Let's take a look at these. First of all, I want to mention something else before I forget it. In the third chapter, I should have brought this up. I want you to notice here that in the third chapter, that we have Yahweh's name emphasized, beginning there with verse 14. "And Elohim said unto Moses, I am that I am, Ea Asher Ea. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And Elohim said moreover unto Moses, thus says, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Yahweh, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." So he's going to show Israel what he can do. And these plagues are actually a foretaste of the plagues that he's going to pour out at the end of the age, which we will see in the book of Revelation. Many of the self-same things are going to occur again. Not routinely, because there are different deities who worship today as compared to what they had back there in the time of the Exodus. But let's start in thinking, and we'll take a quick look at some of these plagues that he's going to bring about. And to understand these plagues, I want you to turn to Exodus 12 first, where the Passover is laid out for us here. But notice in Exodus 12, I want to skip down there to verse 12. And Yahweh says, I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the deities of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yahweh. So these plagues that he's going to bring upon Egypt have to do with the deities that they worshipped. Each one has a very significant meaning, and each one is a plague to destroy the power or to show the powerlessness of that deity. So let's begin with chapter 7, and we'll have to kind of move down a little bit here. Excuse me. Let's go to verse 14. Now, I probably should back up a little bit here before I get into this. Notice here that when we first start out, that Moses has a problem there with the people, and he tells the people that he is going to have Yahweh bring them out. And you find that over in chapter 5. And they want to go and have the meeting in the wilderness. Keep the feast to Yahweh in the wilderness in chapter 5 and verse 1 and 2. And that angers Pharaoh. And verse 6, we find out that he commanded the same day the taskmasters of the people, that is, they were Israelites looking over their own people, saying, you shall no more give the people straw to make bricks. What they were doing is building the storehouses of Egypt. And they made them out of mud. And here we have the binding particle was the straw that they mixed in with the bricks so they wouldn't fall apart. And he tells them that they will have to go and get their own straw before they even start making the bricks. And the verse, the total or the amount of the bricks which they did make theretofore, you shall lay up again. So you can't diminish the number of bricks that you make each day. It's going to be the same. And you have to get your own straw beside that. And then he says, the reason I'm saying this is because they're lazy, they're idle, they're sitting around, they aren't working hard enough. Therefore, they cry, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our Elohim. Let their more work be laid upon them, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard idle words. So the people of Israel were upset because instead of Moses delivering them from Egypt, he made their work even more rigorous. They had to add these straw bindings to themselves, and now they were struggling to do that. And in spite of being free, it got worse. And now let's go in here and take a look, though, at chapter 7, and we'll move on here. Notice here in verse 14, and Yahweh said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go. Go unto Pharaoh in the morning when he goes to the water, and you shall stand on the river's brink against the until he comes, and wait for him. And the rod which was turned to a serpent shall you take in your hand, and you shall say unto him, Yahweh, Elohim of the Hebrews, has sent me unto you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, before you wouldn't hear. And thus said Yahweh, in this you shall know that I am Yahweh. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine and mine hand upon the waters that are in the rivers, and they shall be turned to blood. Here we have waters being turned to blood. I want you to hold your thumb here and go to the book of Revelation, chapter 16. If Yahweh smote the deities and the idols of ancient Egypt, he's going to do the same thing with us in our modern age. And you find this over here in the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. The deities are different, but it's still disobedience to Yahweh. And notice here in chapter 16, we'll move down to verse 4. We'll skip the first and second angels. But verse 4 says, "The third angel poured out his vials upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Yahweh, which art and was and shall be, because you have judged thus. And they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for that's what they have earned. This is what they're worthy of. Even so, Yahweh El Shaddai, true and righteous are your judgments." So we find Revelation talks about waters being turned to blood. Now we notice here that in verse chapter 7, we find there that the Pharaoh in verse 10, Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh and did as Yahweh had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. So the Pharaoh called the wise men that he had, the Egyptian wise men. They threw down their rods. They also became snakes. But notice here, they became serpents, but it says in verse 12 that Aaron's rod gobbled up the serpents, the rods of the magicians. But that didn't help at all, because verse 13 says, "And Pharaoh hardened his heart even more, just as Yahweh said he would." So what we have in verse 19, now that Aaron is to take his rod and stretch it over the waters of Egypt, any water that was open to the air was turned to blood. Pools of water, rivers, streams, ponds. And notice it says that Aaron did so in verse 20. And the river and everything was turned to blood. Verse 21 says the fish stank because they died. And the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink the water. And you have to understand that the Nile River was sacred to the Egyptians. They depended upon that Nile River. A little while later, you know, it's going to have hail and rain. And basically, Egypt had very little rain. It was more a desert than anything. So here we have the water being the lifeblood of Egypt, actually, being turned to blood. And we find that in verse 22, it says that the Egyptians of Egypt, in verse 22, also did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hear them, as Yahweh had said, and Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And the Egyptians digged around about the river for water to drink, where the water had not been contaminated from the air. It's like a fog or like a mist came across the waters, and it all turned to blood. I think I might have mentioned one time before that back in 1966 or somewhere in there, I read an article in the Reader's Digest telling about how the waters could be turned to blood if you had a radioactive iron to replace the magnesium that is in chlorophyll. Now, most waters have little dots or specks of chlorophyll. And if you were to replace the magnesium with the radioactive iron, because we talk about iron-rich blood and so on, the color would change from green to red. Sometimes you see the scum on waters where the chlorophyll is collected. And all of this will be changed to a red color, like blood. Well, let's move on here. This first plague, then, was for the Nile River, which was sacred to Osiris and was the all-seeing eye of the Egyptians. So let's notice here that in verse 25 of chapter 7, moving on down, It says, and the 7 days were fulfilled. After that, Yahweh had smitten the river. And Yahweh spake to Moses in chapter 8, and verse 1. Go unto Pharaoh and say, thus says Yahweh, let my people go, that they may serve me. If you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite the borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly. They shall go up and come into your house, into your bedchamber, upon your bed, into the house of your servants, unto the people, into your ovens, any place your eating troughs, wherever they are, you'll have frogs all over the place. And the frogs shall come up on you, on your people, and all thy servants. If you go back to Revelation 16 again and read verse 13, you find that frogs are going to again come on the people at the end of the age. Revelation 16 and verse 13 to 14. Verse 13 says, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come up out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the prophet. For they are spirits of demons working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them into the great battle of the Yahweh El Shaddai. So again, we find that this is a pattern that's going to be repeated in the times ahead of us. So as you get back here in the book of Exodus, notice here that verse 10, oh, wait a minute, let's skip verse 9. We're in Exodus 8 and verse 9. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for you, for your servants, and for your people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And Moses said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to your word that you said that. For there is none like unto Yahweh our Elohim. And the frogs shall depart from you, and from your houses, from your servants, from your people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out. And they actually were able to leave Pharaoh. Verse 13, Yahweh did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, out of the fields. They gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. All those frogs rotting in the sun. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and he hearkened not unto them, as Yahweh had said. So we find that Pharaoh would, under pressure, he would say he would do this. When the pressure was off, then he would change his mind, and he wouldn't do it. And the interesting part here is, I should have mentioned this, that the frog, Hika, was a frog deity that they worshipped in Egypt. It looked just like a frog. And it was called Hika, the frog-headed goddess, really, is what it was. And they worshipped that. And it was supposed to favor the people. Here it doesn't favor them at all. It stinks and smells up the place, and they can't get rid of it. So anyway, moving on now, let's go down to verse 16. Notice that Pharaoh always hardened his heart. Verse 16, and Yahweh said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out the rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand and his rod and smote the dust of the earth. It became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout the whole land of Egypt. You notice there was like the whole land was moving, all the lice in the and the bugs crawling around. And the Egyptians worshipped another deity called Geb, G-E-B, and that was the earth deity. It was supposed to watch over the earth and keep it good for crops and growing food and so on. I'm going over to Revelation 13, and I want to read something there that I thought was interesting. And let's see, where was I? Let's see. Yeah, verse 12. This is talking about the man of sin's prophet, the one that comes up out of the earth. And he exercises all power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein, whose deadly wound was healed. He does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he has power to do in the sight of the beast, saying them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. So here we have another man performing miracles as well in the New Testament. You notice, I want to read that, and now we're going back to verse 17. And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth. It became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 18 is kind of a poor rendition. It should say, and the magicians tried to do so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So here we have a change. The false prophets can bring forth miracles, but these Egyptians couldn't. And the magicians admitted that Yahweh was the mighty one. Notice in verse 19, the magician said unto Pharaoh, "This is the finger of Elohim." And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as Yahweh had said. And Yahweh said unto Moses, "Rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, wait until he comes forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus says Yahweh, let my people go, that they may serve me." Verse 21. And he says, "Behold, I will send swarms of flies upon the land, and upon your servants, and upon the people, and the houses, and the houses of the into the houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and even the ground where you're standing on." This was probably after the Kippara, the beetle deity that they worshipped. It was supposed to be an immortal beetle that had iridescent body, and they worshipped that Kippara, the scarab. Notice in verse 22, we hadn't touched on this before, but notice it says here that in that day, verse 22, Yahweh says, "I will sever in that day the land in Goshen where Israel live, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that you may know that I am Yahweh in the midst of the earth. I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow shall this thing be." So not only did Israel have to get the bricks and the straw together and without any help, but also they had to undergo these same plagues that fell upon the land of Egypt until the third one. And then they had no more to worry about, because Yahweh put a division in there, and the fourth one didn't touch them, but the first three did. So we find that in verse 24, it tells about the swarm of flies that came into the house of Pharaoh and so on. And then in verse 25, Pharaoh calls for Moses, and he says, "Go sacrifice to your Elohim in the land." And Moses said, "We can't do it." Now Moses now adds something else too that was never added before. Before, the people were going to go and worship and then come back to Egypt. But now Moses says, "It's not proper to do so, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of Egypt to Yahweh our Elohim. Shall we sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians before their eyes? Shall they not stone us? We will go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to Yahweh our Elohim as he shall command us." And then notice how Pharaoh is weakening now. Notice what he says. "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to Yahweh your Elohim in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Also, pray for me," Pharaoh says. And Moses said, "Behold, I go out from you, and I will entreat Yahweh that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people, tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more, not letting the people go to sacrifice unto Yahweh. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated Yahweh, and Yahweh did according to his word. Now notice in chapter 9, we have another one here. This is the fifth plague now. This one is done to Apis the bull. Now in verse 1, it says, Yahweh tells Moses, go unto Yahweh, Pharaoh, and tell him, thus says Yahweh, mighty one of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. If you refuse to let them go and will hold them still, behold, the hand of Yahweh is upon your cattle, which is in the field, and upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, and upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. So they have a skin disease that comes upon them. He says it's going to be very grievous. What is interesting now, I'm just going to read this chapter 16 and verse 2. It says, again, trying to keep this up to date. A lot of people think that reading about the Old Testament plagues has nothing to do with them. I think it does. Notice in chapter 16 of Revelation, verse 1 says, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of Elohim upon the earth. The first went out and poured his vials upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and them which worshipped his image. The difference is this fell upon the people. Back in Exodus, it fell upon the animals. The murrain that they had, the scabs and the bleeding of the open flesh of all the animals, and so on. Verse 4, and Yahweh shall sever, we're back in 9 of the book of Exodus, verse 4, and Yahweh shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is or belongs to the children of Israel. And Yahweh appointed a set time, a moed, saying, tomorrow Yahweh shall do this thing in the land. And Yahweh did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel, not one died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. He did not let the people go. And Yahweh said unto Moses, here's another plague. Excuse me. Yahweh said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, that'd be from the burning there, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt. It shall be a boil breaking forth on the plains upon man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. We just read Revelation 16:2, and this is exactly the same type of thing that goes on both man and beast. And they took the ashes of the furnace and sprinkled it toward heaven. It became a boil breaking forth, blains upon man, upon beast. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. This was an act against Typhon. Typhon was the priest, excuse me, and he was supposed to be spotless. Now he's got these blains and he's bleeding all over on his skin. And we find that in verse 13, and Yahweh said unto Moses, we read verse 12 where Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He didn't listen to them, and then paid no attention. And Yahweh said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says Yahweh, Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon your heart and upon your servants and upon your people. that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite you and the people with pestilence, and you shall be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised you up, for to show you, to show in you my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. And then in verse 17, he scolds him and says, why are you exalting yourself against my people that you wouldn't let them go? So here we have the Israelites are still there, and we find that he has not gone yet. But Pharaoh is weakening. He's getting weaker all the time. He isn't quite the adamant, arrogant man he was before. Now notice here, verse 18, tomorrow, behold, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof until now. And therefore now gather your cattle and all that you have in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, they shall not be brought home. The hail shall come down, and they shall die. Rather interesting, isn't it? Go back there to going over to Revelation chapter 8 and in there on verse 7. And there we read, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burned up. All the green grass was burned up. So the seven trumpets, the seven plagues that we have in the New Testament, are also a part of what we read about here in the book of Revelation, in the book of Exodus. Also, in Revelation 16, we have another hail. Verse 21 says, and there fell upon men a very great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed Elohim because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great. A talent is, most Bible dictionaries will say, weighed anywhere from 80 to 100 pounds. Can you imagine a chunk of ice coming down from the heavens and hitting an animal or a man? Wouldn't be many survivors, would there? So we have here these different plagues, and the hail is actually against Isis and Osiris. They are the ones that are supposed to take care of the earth, watch over the earth, keep it for human beings, and so on. As we move on down here, I'm going to read verse 20. He that feared the word of Yahweh among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses, and that regarded not the word of Yahweh left his servants and his cattle in the field. And Yahweh said to Moses, stretch forth your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and Yahweh sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along the ground. And Yahweh rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. Like I mentioned before, Egypt very seldom had rain. It was the overflooding of the Nile River that made Egypt able to grow cotton and some of the things that Egypt is noted for. But having rain and hail, that was not something they saw very often. But notice in verse 25 it says, the hail smote that all the land of Egypt that was in the field, man and beast. The hail smote every herb. So not only did it kill man and beast, but even the crops were hailed upon. And we find that only in Goshen, where Israel was dwelling, did they have no hail. Verse 27, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. Yahweh is righteous. Notice he's changing his mind again. He says, Yahweh is righteous. My people are wicked. Now he asks Moses to entreat Yahweh for me. For it is enough that there be no more mighty thundering and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses, of course, we're not done with the plagues yet, so we know it doesn't happen. Verse 29, Moses said, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands to Yahweh, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that you may know that the earth is Yahweh's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not fear Yahweh your Elohim. Here in verse 31, we find that the flax and the barley were smitten, but the barley was in the ear and the flax was the bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up yet. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto Yahweh, and the thunders and the hail ceased, and rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as Yahweh had spoken by Moses. By the way, I should mention here that sometimes it'll talk in the Bible about Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh. I think Dr. Bullinger has a good point. He says, actually, Yahweh didn't harden the heart of Pharaoh. Pharaoh had this predilection to being haughty and arrogant. What actually happened? Yahweh brought out conditions in the situation that it showed Pharaoh's true colors. When he was in the ascendancy and was doing everything right and was blessed, he was arrogant. But as soon as it started to go the other way, then he became very morbid and very sad and wanted somebody to bail him out. And what Bullinger says is the same sun that hardens the clay also melts the butter. So the situation depends upon whatever the man or individual is trying to do. So in verse 35, we read that Pharaoh's heart is hardened. Let's move on to chapter 10. And let's see. We find here in chapter 10, in verse 2, it says that you may tell in the ears of your son and out of your son's son the things that I have brought about in Egypt, my signs which I have done among them, that you may know now that I am Yahweh. So this is not only for ancient Israel, but it's for us today to learn and understand what Yahweh did back there to free his people and what he can do in the future to free his people. Notice in verse 3 it says, Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said unto him, Yahweh says this, the mighty one of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. If you don't let my people go, tomorrow I'll bring the locust into your city, or into your coast. So here we have locusts mentioned. And again, I want to go back to the book of Revelation and point out that this is not a isolated event, but in chapter 9, you'll find there in the book of Revelation that in verse 2, we find the angel opened the bottomless pit. We're in Revelation 9:2. Opened the bottomless pit, there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the smoke, the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Unto them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. In other words, they could sting with their tails, and locusts eat voraciously, eat up all the crops. And this is what we find is going to happen at the end of the age. So what Yahweh did in Exodus, he can also do in Revelation. And I think this is something we have to be concerned about. When we read about these mighty acts that he did, where the people actually flaunted themselves and said, we don't have to do that. The more they did that, the worse the plague became. So anyway, in verse 5 of chapter 10 of Exodus, these locusts are going to cover the earth, but you can't see the earth. They'll be just crawling alive with locusts. They shall eat the residue of that which has escaped. That which escaped from the hail is going to gobble all that up, even though it's bent over and perhaps covered with ice, hail. They shall eat every tree which grows for you out of the field. And they shall fill your houses, and the houses of all your servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day they were upon the earth unto this day. Then Moses turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. So we find then Pharaoh's servants said, how long is this man going to be a snare unto you? Why don't you do something about it? They're worried now that he keeps talking about more plagues if Pharaoh doesn't let the people go. And they're saying, don't you know if you don't let something happen pretty soon, Egypt will be destroyed? In verse 7, and Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said, go, serve Yahweh your Elohim. But who are they that go with you? And Moses said, we will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds, we will go. For we must hold a feast unto Yahweh. Now they aren't going simply out to hold a feast. They're going to move out, take all their animals, all their tents, and whatever they're living in. They're going to take it all with them. And verse 10 says, and he said unto them, let Yahweh be so with you, if I ever let you go, and your little ones, look to it. It's evil before you what you're trying to do. You're trying to move out on me, Pharaoh says. Not so. Go now, you that are men, and serve Yahweh. All the men can go and serve him, but the women and the children and your animals all stay here. That's what Pharaoh says. That's the deal I'm making with you. And Yahweh said to Moses in verse 12, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail has left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and Yahweh brought an east wind unto the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over the land of Egypt and rested all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there was no such locusts as they, neither after them shall they be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, and the land was darkened. And they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees, and all which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees, nor the herbs of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses. Now he's getting a little excited. Said, I have sinned against Yahweh, your Elohim, and against you. Now he even calls him by name. And he says, therefore I pray you, my sin only this once. Forgive my sin. And entreat Yahweh, your Elohim, that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated Yahweh. And Yahweh turned a mighty strong west wind, which took the locusts and cast them all into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. But Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart. Again, he didn't harden his heart. He just brought about another situation that showed what kind of a man Pharaoh was, because he would not let the children of Israel go. So now we have here, next one is the sun deity, Amun-Ra. Amun-Ra was a sun deity. Now notice what happens here in verse 21 of chapter 10. Excuse me. And Yahweh said unto Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. You notice that sometimes Moses will tell Pharaoh what is going to happen. Sometimes it just happens, like the darkness. He doesn't warn him ahead of time about the darkness. But he said that darkness is so thick, it's like it can be felt. I remember when I was a little boy, I got lost in the woods one time back in Minnesota. And it was dark and I couldn't see. And I couldn't find the road. And I was all twisted up and I tried to figure out where the North Star was. And I couldn't see the stars, too many trees. And so I finally, about an hour or two later, they came looking for me with a flashlight and found me. But I remember I was just scared because I couldn't see anything, and yet I was stumbling over trees, walking into stuff, falling over rocks. I understand what this is about. So they had the thick darkness here in the land of Egypt. 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from the place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. How about that? Yahweh is the light of the world, and he lights up Israel. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, Go and serve Yahweh. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed here. Let your little ones go with you too. Pharaoh is limbering up. He realizes now that the worship of the sun deity is kind of a ridiculous worship. They're worshiping a sun they can't even see. For 3 days they can't even see the sun and trying to worship it. I imagine Yahweh has a good sense of humor, laughing at him. You stupid people trying to worship a sun you can't see. What are you trying to worship the sun for anyway? Verse 25, thou must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto Yahweh. Now Moses puts the pressure on. He said, well, we'll go, but we need sacrifices and offerings. You're going to have to give us some because we don't have any. We're slaves. We don't own anything. Our cattle shall go with us, but we're not going to sacrifice that. There shall not be a hoof left behind, for thereof must we take it to serve Yahweh or Elohim. And we know not what we must serve Yahweh until we come thither. But Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart. He would not let them go. And Pharaoh said, Get you from me and take heed to yourself. See my face no more, for in that day that you see my face, you shall die. And Moses said, You have spoken well. I will see your face again no more. So in chapter 11, we have here the slaying of the firstborn, the tenth plague. And I want to make a couple points here while we're here. In chapter 11, verse 1, it reads, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now to the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor. That word borrow really means ask or seek or to have them donate. Every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and of gold. And Yahweh gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. So they did get a lot of gifts and so on. What I want to point out, this is the first time here in verse 2 that the Israelite people were told about getting the or borrowing or whatever you want to say from the Egyptians. Because some people will say, well, when they left, they had to pass overnight. And the next morning, why, they were on their way. And they feel that they were not busy getting or borrowing from the Egyptians. But I want you to take a look over at chapter 3 of Exodus and show why the people sometimes don't get the right picture. Excuse me. In chapter 3. In verse 16, notice that they are to take the elders of the people together. So they're to gather the elders, not the people, but the leaders, the ones that were chosen to be generally the firstborn. In verse 16, and say unto them, Yahweh Elohim of your fathers, the mighty one of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have visited you and seen that what they're doing in Egypt, and that I will bring the affliction upon the Egypt, in verse 17, unto the land of the Canaanite, and get you to go into the land of the Hittites, Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, these seven nations that were in the land. And it says, they shall hearken unto your voice, and you shall come, and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and he shall say, you shall say unto him, Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us go, we beseech you, 3 days' journey. Well, we know that he wouldn't let them go. But I want you to notice that these elders are talking now to Yahweh, and he tells the elders in verse 21, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. It shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go out empty-handed. Every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourns in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold. Raiment, you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. So the point is this. This was told to the elders. It was not told to the people to go out and start spoiling the Egyptians until we come to chapter 11. That's when Moses told the people that they would spoil the Egyptians or borrow from the Egyptians. And so we have here the answer that they didn't really spoil them until after the Passover was over the next day, when they're ready to leave and go down to Ramses. Well, there we have the 12 plagues, the 12th chapter, I was going to say. Actually, we should read about this 10th plague, because this 10th plague is the one that really turned things around. And you notice here in verse 3, it talks about the people being glad to give the Israelites jewels and silver and gold and whatever expensive things they had. Excuse me, because if they didn't get Israel out of there, they said, we're all going to die if they don't get the Israelites out of here. So in verse 4, Moses said to Yahweh about midnight, that says Yahweh, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn of the land of Egypt that shall die from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon the throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservants that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall there be any more. And against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that Yahweh does put a difference between Egyptians and Israel. Excuse me. And these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves before me, saying, get thee out, all the people that follow thee. And after that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. In chapter 12, of course, we have the preparation for the Passover. And I just want to mention this. Some people think that because it happened that night, that the firstborn just died in their sleep. Well, that's not true. The history books tell that there was great anguish and crying and screaming and hollering, that it was a frightful death that they had. And that is why the Egyptians couldn't sleep that night, because anyone that was going to die, the firstborn, and the animals braying and mooing and so on, that even awakened the people. And that is why they were wide awake all that night. And this is the time when the destroying angel came through. And those that had the blood on the doorposts and on the lintel over their door were the ones that had salvation. But the interesting point is that we read in various places that the plagues were against the deities of Egypt. And when I look at that and see what has happened in the book of Revelation, where many of these same plagues are going to be again brought to bear, I wonder what kind of deity is that we worship that Yahweh is ought to destroy with his plagues that he's going to bring on this earth at the end of the age. All the seven trumpets that are blown and the things that are going to happen. I think we can look in the book of Exodus and get a pretty good clue of what's going to happen.